It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in a study of Revelation, and I hope that you've been able to be with us as we are just really beginning this study. We've just had it for a couple of weeks, but I hope that you can catch up if you haven't been able to be with us. We're going to begin today in reading verse 4 of the first chapter, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website, if you'd like to look at us there, and please do. We've got many messages up there, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. From the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is that the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. We're going to end reading there. We may get a little bit further than that, but please that you just... We'll end at that point right now and enjoy the study. We'll begin now with prayer, as always. Father, we thank and praise you for the day that you've given us. It's just a privilege to come and proclaim your precious word, and I am honored to do so, Lord. Thank you. Please that you will guide and lead us today as we enjoy this study. I hope that the ears that are listening today are open and that they can hear. And Father, we know with having children around that sometimes, Father, and even adults are the same way. We're there, but we're not listening. I ask today that we listen, because there's nothing more important than a study of your precious word. So, dear Lord, please guide and lead us today. Those that are lost, touch their heart. They have never, ever asked Jesus, ask you into their hearts to save them. It's that simple. But if they've never done that, I ask today be the day that they would invite you in and then begin the most wonderful walk of life. Truly, life begins right there. So guide and lead us today now, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these verses of Scripture, and as we start, it's so exciting to see, as we have taken the precious word, we've looked at the from which is, which was, which is to come, his eternal existence, the seven spirits. We looked at those. We went back, if you remember, to Isaiah chapter 11 and read from verse 1 through verse 5. And it really divides that into the seven parts: Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And as we enjoy looking, we found also God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in verse 4 and 5, as we found the Trinity, because you'll find through the Scripture that we'll have the Son of God speaking, we'll have God the Father, we'll have the Holy Spirit ministering, but you'll find that as great events of this, all three are always present, and you'll find that all through His precious Word, to see the Trinity all together. As we look at this fifth verse just very quickly, Jesus, the faithful witness. And we went back, and I would like to do that just for a moment, because it's too important of scripture verse not to review. If you have not been studying with me very long, you'll learn that we spend a lot of time in review. If you have not learned yesterday's lesson, then today you're just going to be confused. And so we need to understand what we have looked at in weeks before, and then that way we can move forwards, and it's just a steady, a little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept. Well, if you pull a couple of those building blocks out, it doesn't make for a very sound building. And so we want to first look at the Word and build up on the Word in your growth. Of course, that cannot begin until you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can know this book, you can study it from cover to cover, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, and you can get to the point, if you have such a mind, that you could memorize the whole book. You could quote scripture verse for wherever that you, whatever area you would like to. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus, this book is nothing more than just a textbook, and that is the fact of most folks today, because they have missed this wonderful need of calling upon the Lord Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to believe in the heart and in the mind. Both come together, but it begins, a work begins in the heart. And so please, if you go back to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, read those verses of Scripture very carefully and very prayerfully, and ask the Lord to lead you and direct you to ask Jesus into your heart to save you. Once He does, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. Then we begin to learn. And so I hope that that's where you are today, and we can begin to build one block at a time, and that's what we're working on today. Now, as I brought you back to John, the first chapter, because the Gospel of John, as we looked at the fifth verse, and from Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, I've shifted on you, Revelation chapter 1, the fifth verse, is, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." And that was the verse that we had read back in Revelation. Well, coming back to the Gospel of John, not 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, John chapter 1, and we look at that first verse, and it says, "In the beginning the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we find what that means. See, Scripture confirms Scripture. You come down to the 14th verse of that same chapter, John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's none other than the Lord Jesus, very clear. And so please, as we look at those words, so the Word was made flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, we will not go back there today. We did last time we were together. He was also the first begotten of the dead. 1 John 1, 7, we will go back there. 1 John 1, 7, very close to Revelation. I hope that you know the books of your Bible. If not, why begin to study those? We begin here very young, learning the books of the Bible. You can do it by song, and that's just fine. I prefer not to, because I want to be able to find them. We spend time doing that in through Sunday school classes, learning the books of the Bible and learning how to use your Bible, because it's a sword. We need to learn how to rightly divide it and use it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And it tells us, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." A lot of times, a lot of churches, a lot of places today don't want to talk about the precious blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what saved us. The blood that flows through our veins gives us life. The blood of Jesus, being perfect blood, the blood of the Son of God, saves us. It also gives us life, eternal life. And so please never deny the precious blood of Jesus. And another that is really a wonderful verse of Scripture, and that is 1 Peter. We're all in the same area here. We got 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So you see, we're very close. And so if you're not familiar with it, just kind of work your way towards the front of your Bible slowly, and you'll find it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You hear that invitation there? We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And we're going to look at that and hold that place, please, because when we read now the 6th verse of Revelation chapter 1, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want you to see this, because he hath made us, and if you would look back in the Greek, you'll find that to be kingdoms of priests. In writing it into the English language, it lost a little bit of it there. And that's the reason that we need to go back, and we have some very nice tools that are very reasonable to purchase. Every home should have them, and that's a Strong's Concordance. And then also Vines is another reference book that takes the Greek, the English, and brings it to the Greek language as of its original writing, or it does in the Old Testament to the Hebrew. It's a very easy tool. It works just like a dictionary. You open up the concordance, and it is in alphabetical order. You find the word that you're looking for in alphabetical order, and then you find the scripture verse, because it will list that word, and it'll place it and give you a little snippet of scripture, and the word will be in the place, and you'll go down through and find the proper scripture that you're studying in with that word in it, and then it will correspond with a number. And then you go back, if it be in the Old Testament, you would go back into the Hebrew dictionary, which is in the back of the concordance, or to the Greek if it's New Testament, and you will look that word up. And sometimes that word will have several words trying to define what that meant. And so if you've never had a concordance, again, that is a tool that each one of us, and the Vines use the same number system as the Strong's, and so it is, you can use both of them back and forth. I stay with the King James Bible because, number one, I believe it's the closest of the original, and the Strong's and the Vines are connected directly with the same words in the King James, Old King James. And so I have always used the Old King James. You'll find it to be very easy to use. And so if you don't have a Strong's Concordance, if you don't have a Vines, also something else you should have is a Bible dictionary. Go get a good Unger's Bible Dictionary, and that will really help you to study as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we are looking at this 6th verse, and if you would look this up, you would find that, and hath made us kingdoms of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hath made us, here it says kings and priests, telling us the same thing, but it's kingdoms of priests. Now, I hope that you kept your fingers open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, because we're going to read that once again. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're studying the Word of God today. You are being drawn out of darkness, but it's up to you. God does not require you, does not command or demand you to do anything that you don't choose to do. But he does show you the light. In showing you the light, it also shows you something else. It shows you your sin. Shows you how really ugly that we are and how much we need a Savior. Your psychologists and psychiatrists and folks of that today, they have the ability sometimes to dig way down deep and find something that has been disturbing you for all of your life. And they can give you some hints of things to correct it. But our Lord Jesus can take those things away. Wonderful. So please, you want a good therapist? You want the only true therapist? You come to Jesus, because he's going to take those sins away, and he can give you comfort and peace and joy that no doctor in this world can give you. He's our creator. He's our salvation. And so please, trust in Jesus today, and he will give you the strength that you need to face anything that you need to face. It's such a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation and a peculiar people. In this world, we are a peculiar people, because even though financially we're in trouble, maybe we're physically we're in trouble, we have sickness, ourself or member of the family or close friend, something like that, and you really feel almost to the place of despair. Our Lord Jesus gives believers strength to go through all those things. And when something happens and most people are weeping and wailing and crying, we can be there with joy in our hearts and a smile on our face and love of God to give to those that are in need. That makes a peculiar people, when you can take a bad situation and still find the sun, find the light in it. It's a dark old world. We sure need the Lord Jesus. I hope that you will come to the Lord Jesus today and trust in him. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are all priests. Now, there are religions today that have set up a priesthood within their religion, within their denomination, whatever you want to call it. But there is no separation of priesthood from laity. There is none. The only way that you can become a member of the royal priesthood, and that's not to join a certain church or not to go to a certain school to hold that position, to become a priest, what you need to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will become a member of the royal priesthood. But it's a relationship with Jesus, not a relationship with the church. A relationship with Jesus. And every individual around the world that comes by faith to Jesus becomes a priest, a member of the royal priesthood. When you're born again, we are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We can approach the throne of God only through a new and living way. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. mark this 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and read it often. Tremendous verse of Scripture. Hebrews. Back just a few pages, you'll find James as you're going towards the front of your Bible, and then you'll find the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 19 through 20. If you want to understand the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, if you want to understand the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, study the book of Leviticus in the Old. People say that Hebrews is a very difficult book. Not at all. It's a beautiful study. But only if you have studied the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the books of Moses, the first five books of our Scripture. You study those, and you'll open up Hebrews, and you'll think, wow, there is something that I can enjoy and learn. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now you wonder, and I'm sure today that when you hear priest, you would think of a certain church, a certain religion. We look at the book of Hebrews, and only because we have studied the book of Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, do we have an understanding here of what that is talking about. We are spending a lot of time today talking about the priests unto God, kingdoms of priests, back in Revelation 1:6. We need to take time to do that. If you have followed in other studies that we have had, you'll remember many times that I make reference to a building called the tabernacle. You may know it better as a temple. The first temple that was built by Solomon, King David's son, King Solomon. David wanted to build it. God did not allow him to build it, but he did supply most of the materials. And then Solomon set out and built this great temple. Prior to that temple, they did have a place to worship, not like you and I worship. It was a place where the God would come and meet with the people. And in order to do that, it was a small building, a tent actually, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall, and it was a total of 45 feet long. That's the building. It had a courtyard that surrounded it. The building itself was a very beautiful building, even though it was of a tent. When you would go in to the first room, the name of that first room is the Holy Place. The name of the second room, which is a 15 by 15 by 15 cube, is called the Holy of Holies. That is where the Shekinah Glory Cloud, have you heard of the Shekinah Glory Cloud? It was with them through the travel in the wilderness. It was with them as they were led out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, over to Mount Sinai, and then on up to the Promised Land. God led them. God led them. And that's the reason that our founding fathers of this land, they considered for our national emblem to be the Shekinah Glory Cloud, because being led by God. Now, that's what our founding fathers did. We look today and we find that God can't have anything to do with this land or government. Our founding fathers surely had another idea. As we look today at this Shekinah Glory Cloud, in the book of Hebrews and back into Exodus Leviticus, we find that that is the presence of God coming down to meet with the people. We surely need that today. We have this building, the tabernacle, two rooms, the holy place and the holy of holies. There is a veil between. Now, let's look back at this scripture verse in Hebrews. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest, the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, do you remember hearing that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom? Do you remember that? This is the same veil. It's in the temple, but it's the same purpose as the original one in the tabernacle. It was a place between where the priests would go and where the high priest was able to go once a year into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. That veil was torn, and now we can go right into the Holy of Holies and fellowship with God. We don't need to go through someone else. We have, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the right to go right to God the Father with our petitions. And that's the reason that when we pray, we said, please, Father, help with this. Please, Father, would you, this person is sick. Will you heal her or heal him? Please, dear Father, in Jesus' name. And the reason we pray in Jesus' name, it's because it's through the Lord Jesus that we can go to God the Father. That's how we go there, is through the veil. Now, again, here's the tabernacle, the holy place. And it's a small room. It's 30 by 15 by 15, has a couple pieces of furniture in it. But in order to go through the veil, in the Old Testament, the study of Leviticus, you couldn't go through that veil unless you had the blood. There was two animals, two goats, scapegoat, they called it. You heard the old term scapegoat, and another goat. They would literally flip a coin. One would be put to death, and the blood would be gathered. The other would be remain alive. On one day, the Day of Atonement, once a year, was the only time they were allowed to go through the veil. The high priest, not just a priest, the high priest would go through that veil and sprinkle the blood seven times. In the scripture, we've already learned that the term seven is a term of completeness. Sprinkle that mercy seat. That was the piece of furniture that was in the Holy of Holies. They would go through the veil, through the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, through the veil, and sprinkle the blood. Well, all that was a representation of what Jesus was going to do on the cross many years later, and he did. And he completed it. And now we can go right to the Father. And once again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. See, he has taken the place of that veil. So now we can go right to God the Father. And having an high priest over the house of God, Jesus is our high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And in the scripture, that pure water means the word of God, God's power and strength. Now, we spent a whole lot more time with that verse of scripture than I really intended to. But if you don't have any understanding of the Old Testament, to read those verses of scripture, or to say here in the end of verse 5, washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kingdoms of priests unto God and to his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever, you would have no understanding of that. We become priests. Jesus is our high priest. We are priests. All believers are priests. Again, it is laity, not a certain denomination or a certain group of men that have taken that term and that name today. That is against the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that if you trust in Jesus by faith today, call upon him. He died on the cross for you, shed his precious blood. We're back to that blood, aren't we? My dear friend, it's so important that you believe in Jesus today. call on him. What are you going to do about Jesus?